Yeah, it's KX93.5. We are, of course, Laguna's only FM radio station, broadcasting from the corner of Pacific Coast Highway and Pearl Street here in glorious Laguna Beach, California. I'm the luckiest man on the planet, actually. Here in the studio with me, Mr. Chris Lemon. How you doing, Chris?
Great to be here.
Oh, man, it's so nice to see you. Chris Lemon, shall I give a little introduction?
Why not?
Son of Jack Lemon.
There you go.
That's it.
That says it all.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, that's my middle name, Jack Lemon's son.
Does it drive you crazy? No, well, of course, it can't drive you crazy because you've kind of, you're this part of your career. You're a pianist and a TV actor and done a lot of different things, written a book. This phase of your career is all about your dad.
Well, like a lot of things in life, you have a choice. You can either let it drive you crazy or you can embrace it. I choose to embrace it. And I adored my father. He was my father, and he was also my very best friend. And I miss him very, very much. And so, you know, to have that book where it all started come kind of full turn and be doing this wonderful, wonderful play right now, you know, every night for an hour and a half, I get my dad back.
Chris, you're on in town, because I should tell our listeners that you're on in town at the moment at Laguna Playhouse. The play runs till June 23rd, is
22nd,
that right?
22nd. Yeah, my birthday.
Oh.
My last day here is my birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old I am.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a party night that night. Though,
I think so,
playhouse.
Yes. That's the one night I get to, isn't it?
That's killer. So you wrote, you started out with a book, A Twist of Lemon. When was that? When did you write the book?
2006 we published.
Okay. And whose idea was it to turn this thing into a touring production?
It was sort of one of those kismet things. I did the book tour, and it was wonderfully received. But more importantly, I remember Pop always told me, if you can touch just one person, you've done your job. And during the book tour, it seemed that was happening. And people were very moved by the message. And it's sort of the book tour turned into this performance piece, for lack of a better term, I started taking on the road and getting wonderful response to. But I always thought it could be more. And that's when I contacted a fellow who I think is absolutely a genius, Hershey Felder, at doing this particular form, which really, in essence, he invented. And he came to a performance. He liked what he saw. And here we are a year later.
Because Hershey's a musician. We've had a few of his productions down here at Laguna Playhouse.
Indeed.
There's the Gershwin one, mm-hmm. where he plays Gershwin. There was a... Beethoven.
Beethoven, Chopin.
Chopin, Franz Liszt.
Mm-hmm, Franz Liszt. And he's right now doing Bernstein up at Berkeley Rep. So he's a very busy fellow. I mean, it's hard enough doing one of these things. He's got five of them swimming around in his
because
head,
he's a piano player like yourself.
Well, he's a concert-level pianist. Yeah. He's a fabulous pianist, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys teamed up to get this thing going.
Yeah.
And is this some... Because you're playing your dad. This is so fascinating to me. You're playing your dad. I remember, because I've not seen this current production, but I came to see is it called a reading?
A staged reading, yeah.
Staged reading. So that basically what you do is you come on stage and you sort of do it.
Well, it's staged reading is usually actually a music stand and you read the script, but yeah. We weren't going to do that.
You didn't read from a sheet.
No. We had 6 days rehearsal and we did the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I
pretty
came
much
to
the
that,
same with this one too.
And it was, there was some painful stuff in there because your relationship with your dad, obviously, Jack Lemon, such a huge, I mean, it can't be. When I told Tyler, you know, when I talked to Tyler, the 25-year-old boss of the radio station, about Jack Lemon, he doesn't really get the hugeness of the guy.
Yeah.
And how he spanned, his career in Hollywood spanned, you know, I don't know how many years, 50-odd years?
Well, a quick aside, that's a lot of why we're doing it. There's a number of reasons why we're doing it.
Yeah, please tell me why you're doing it.
But well, it was such a wonderful time back then, and that was a magically innocent generation compared to the world we live in right now. And I want very much to be able to bring that to those people who didn't know it, and also to bring back to those people who did and remember it longingly those wonderful memories. And so a great deal of what we're doing is, yes, of course, telling a very unique yet in very many ways universal father-son story. But it's also just a wonderful glimpse back at that era of magic.
You know, looking at some of those movies now, you know, movies like The Apartment with Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
You know,
Fred McMurray. Yeah.
They're harder to watch now because it was such a simpler time. It was, you know,
in so many ways, and yet equally complex, in very many ways as well. I mean, if you take a look at the apartment, it's such an incredible social statement on what was going on in the late 60s in corporate America. Yeah. And the just sort of, blind sort of greed that was happening. Selfishness is better word than greed, that the movie is based on. And you have, as I say in the play, you have what could have been just one more big ridiculous farce suddenly turn into a very meaningful piece about how people get hurt and how people relate to each other through just the story of a guy and a gal falling in love.
Right, but he nails the acting so well. He's such a great actor, Jack. My memory of him, maybe from The Odd Couple, that was the big movie for me as a growing up. I grew up in the 70s, so,
The Odd Couple with Walter Matthau.
Mr. Matthau.
I wake up in the morning, there's little notes on my pillow. Say, we're out of cornflakes, F you. Took me 3 hours to figure out that F you meant Felix Unger.
See, it was just clowning around, in those movies. So I remember those movies because I didn't see The Apartment till I was in my late 30s, because it's such a serious film. Yeah. Glenn Ross was another one. Another one I watched recently was the one about the priest, when he's a priest and he's looking after Mass Appeal, yes. That's a great movie too. And he really he's not a soap opera actor, your dad. He's the real deal.
Well, he had the ability to... He making choices is one of the most difficult things, not just as a character, also as an artist, which project you're going to do, because let's face it, once you do them, they're indelible. They're here to stay. It's like the famous story between Pop and Waltz, when Pop thought he'd made a mistake in a choice of a movie that he'd done, so he brought Waltz to the screening as a sort of security blanket, and afterwards he said, so Waltz, what do you think? Waltz gave it a beat and then turned to him and said, get out of it.
You do the impressions very well. But I suspect
that's kind of an important part of the show, yeah.
I imagine it is, but I think I want to delve a little bit more into the sort of the whole catharsis. That it's an incredible thing. Let me play a record.
Sure.
We're a music station.
You bet.
You're aware of
it. Yeah, yeah.
And I get in trouble all the time.
Can I sing along?
Yes, you can. A song called Father of Mine by Everclear on KX93.5. Chris Lemon is with us and he's going to stick around for another break. All right. Yeah, that's Everclear on KX93.5 and a track called Father of Mine. And I played that, because I was being clever about, just trying to be clever anyway, about trying to find a track with the word father in it, and I found it. So there you go. I've got Chris Lemon here, who is the son of Jack Lemon, and he's got a show at the Laguna Playhouse right now. The show is called The Return of Jack Lemon, is that right?
Jack Lemon Returns.
Jack Lemon Returns, excuse me. So, yeah. Down there playing your father, this makes you a very weird person, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I was weird to start with, but this makes me even weirder.
This cathartic thing, I can't imagine playing my dad. I think I'd do it quite well. I can see how you can do it. I just think you've got to come to terms with a lot of things. I remember seeing the reading, the original reading.
Right.
And your relationship with your dad's wife, Felicia Farr, was not the smoothest relationship.
Which happens a great deal. It actually happens more often than not.
Oh, mate, it happens to me. Totally. I can completely relate. Completely relate. My father was married to a woman who was not the right woman for us.
Yeah.
So, that's a difficult thing to come to terms with. Did you and your dad ever talk about this?
We tried, but my father wasn't one of those kind of guys that really wears his heart on his sleeve. He was really a very private guy. He was his most open when he was acting.
Yeah.
You see, because that was a safe environment to be open.
Sure.
And so, yes and no. I think he, obviously realized what was going on between the two of us, as did we. But again, it's one of those things that, you either deal with it or you don't. The worst thing to do is say, oh, poor me. My father never did it as a person or as an actor.
Right.
And I'm not about to do it either. I do my best to emulate my father and his ability to raise the bar about pretty much everywhere that he went and everything that he did. It was one of the things I admired most about him. And in this most important arena, I wasn't going to let that get in the way of our relationship, and that's a lot of the message of what we're talking about in the play.
Oh, that's very, that makes things very interesting. Now, do you think that is sort of, do you think he had an inability to express his feelings, emotion, whatever. I think it was just a generational thing. Those guys didn't talk about
that. Yes, to both of those. Sure, yeah. It was the nature of that generation for the most part. However, this was a guy who could tell me he loved me very much and give me a big hug and a big kiss, sloppy kiss on the cheek. I don't know if you've ever seen Jack Lemmon kiss. It's not a pretty sight. As soon as you started to get into that territory, it was hello operator. Wait a minute, we got a bad connection here. So it was what it was. He wanted to keep it light, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Yet this was a guy who was enormously emotionally generous. I mean, he would go out of his way to make sure that everyone around him was having a great day. And it's one of the messages of the show that his father left. The words his father left him with were spread a little sunshine. And he sort of made it his life credo, and what a great kind of guy to be around.
Yeah, he sounds like sort of like he sounds like my dad. He sounds like a classic kind of gregarious gentleman of his era.
Absolutely.
Because you can't blame these guys for not being gushy. And in a way, it's the right thing. In some ways, keep calm and carry on.
I think it is. You want to be able to it imposes an awful lot on a kid when you start getting too into all this stuff. And keep it light, yet at the same time, let there be that heart and that love and all that wonderful stuff that a father and a son can share. And this is it. I mean, this is the nature of a father-son relationship. You're not... It's loving yet competitive, caring yet judgmental, is one of the quotes from the book.
I think that all functioning men get to a point where they come to terms with the relationship with the father. I'm not a psychologist, clearly. I'm a DJ on the radio. Mm. But...
Same difference, isn't it?
Well, what I'm trying to get to is was there some catharsis in the writing and the production of this thing about your dad?
Oh, absolutely.
So there was somewhere to go with this.
It was a search for catharsis originally. That was the whole idea. I mean, he was my best friend, and I lost not just my father, I can't play golf anymore since he passed away. Well, we did 10 Pebble Beaches together, and I haven't played in 6 years.
Yeah,
I don't go trout fishing anymore.
Hookers anymore since
you
my dad
You can't do
died.
The hookers? Yeah.
No,
I mean, it's
and cocaine,
so,
no
same
longer,
difference, yeah.
Not doing
absolutely.
Any more coke
there
now
it is.
That
no more coke, that's yeah, yeah. It's all over. That was, I started writing down our stuff that we did together, our memories, and that turned into this story about a father and a son, and that I thought was worth telling. And I also wanted to share with people out there a side of Jack Lemmon that only I knew, those people most importantly being my kids, because they didn't get to know him either.
Yeah, that is important. Have you seen that movie Frida about the Beatles secretary?
No.
There's a movie out just now, it's on Netflix, and it's about the woman that ran the Beatles fan club all the way through the Beatles time, the sort of 9 or 10 years that they were around.
Right.
From the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And she never spoke out, never talked about any... she never gossiped about the Beatles, she never did any interviews, nothing. She's just made this film about her life with the Beatles.
Terrific.
And she's done it because she's got a grandkid.
That's a great idea. That's fabulous.
And how can you explain that to you? You've got to show them... What happened? It's no good keeping it inside just to preserve the, with the respect for the people involved.
Well, there you go. That's where this all started. And that it ended up becoming a book. And then the book ended up having a message that was ancillary yet also evolutionary to the original idea. And that became the book tour that touched a lot of people, and that became this show that we're doing right now at the fabulous Laguna Playhouse. So,
well, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about what happens in the show just a little bit. Annie Wareham is here too, the artistic director, very posh, of the Laguna Playhouse. Hello, Annie. You all right? Anna, wait a minute. Let's make sure your mic's on. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you're on mic 4. Here we go.
There we go.
There you are. Yeah.
He always tells people that I'm...
You are. You're fabulous.
Well, it's a fancy posh job, isn't it? I'm in the theater.
We'll talk about just how fancy and posh it really is.
Very glamorous.
Let's talk about my trip to the airport with Leslie Caron.
Nice.
Yeah, go on then. How was it? You're not allowed to say, are you?
It was fascinating.
Did Leslie get on the plane all right? That was the last production that was on before Chris.
That's correct. Yes, right. She and her dog.
The dog went on the plane.
Oh, don't get me started.
Do you know what I saw?
The dog went on the plane?
Oh, yeah.
That's no, so. Can... My father did the same thing with his poodle. He'd bring him in. He'd get him a class in a first class seat.
Yeah, that I would have been easier than getting him on the way I got him.
No,
on.
It was crazy. I mean, this was a dog who would not drink water without ice cubes in it.
Oh, what are these dogs? My can't get my dog in the dog park, let alone the bloody airplanes.
Yeah,
you've got a Havanese, haven't you, Chris?
I do have a Havanese.
And
yes,
what's
I call
the
him. I call
you
him.
Do?
Yes, I call him the Señor because he's from Cuba, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Havana,
El Torito
del mundo, the biggest little bull.
Yeah,
I love those dogs. Yeah. Well, Jason and I have dogs that all play together.
Yeah, well, they sometimes do. They play nice. Sometimes they don't play nice. I've got a little bitch called Mrs. Pickles.
Mrs. Pickles.
She's not what she sounds like.
Yeah, because you named her Mrs. Pickles.
I should have named her Mrs. Prickles.
I've got a buddy and a scout. Those are dog names. Buddy and scout.
Well, my friend Cindy Waldman said to me once, she's got this big, lovely big dog called Oliver. And she said to me, she pointed at Mrs. Pickles. She said, FYI, Jason, that's not a dog. And then she pointed at Oliver and she said, That's a dog.
I know. I got to hear about Mrs. Pickles now.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture after. She's often on this show. She comes in sometimes, and she's not allowed in, but we sneak her in and stick her under the board when my wife's out doing other things.
So I get it that Mrs. Pickles is not a large dog.
She's a small dog with a big mouth.
With a big problem.
Exactly. So come on, tell us about the production. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you. It was so much fun when we first did this as a kind of a staged reading so Chris could have it on its feet and Hershey Felder could take a look at it. And it was, just fascinating. And I knew Jack. I worked at Center Theatre Group for 30 years and for Gordon Davidson. And, of course, Jack and Gordon and Walter were all great friends. And I probably first met Jack and Walter when I was an usher in high school and they were doing Juno and the Peacock at the Taper. And that was my first experience with, bless her heart, Carol Mathau.
Mathau's who, you don't drop names without her because
no,
I don't know anybody.
Walter's wife.
Yeah, and she was fabulous.
Incredible. She was married to Saroyan before she was married to
Bill Saroyan.
Before she was married to
Jack.
Yeah, I call
him Bill. We're on a first name
basis. Bill Saroyan.
Yeah. So listen, let me play a record and we'll get this conversation back on track about your thing. All right, because I feel like the Pims is going to come out any minute now.
It certainly is.
All right, here's Just Ginger and Father and Father and Chris Lemon is here with us. Very nice talking to you, mate. And Annie Wareham, of course, from the Playhouse. And we're going to talk about the actual production in a few minutes. And we're going to give away tickets to...
Father and Father, Father and Father, you should walk the heath and you should walk in peace with each other.
Oh, that's lovely. That's Just Ginger there, of course, South African band, and a band that have been in Laguna Beach many, many times with a track called Father and Father. Could you do a shout-out to them? Actually, the drummer, whose name now escapes me, of course, now that I'm talking about him, is in hospital with having a heart bypass like our very own Bob Hawkins. Anyway, there you go. Just thought I'd mention that. Cheer everybody up.
And which you're so good at, Jay.
Too soon? Is it too soon? I don't know. But he's not listening anyway. Okay, so the show itself. Because when I saw the reading, I should say Chris Lemon is here, also Annie Wareham. This is KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. The show is at Laguna Playhouse, running right now. Chris Lemon, of course, son of Jack Lemon. And the show really is about your relationship with your dad. Mm-hmm. Really, but you speak through his voice rather than through your voice.
Well, it's interesting because both of those things you just mentioned sort of go hand in hand. And Annie was just so delightful. We were trying out this, as I told you, it started with me doing, what eventually metamorphosized out of the book tour into this one-man performance piece. And then Hershey got a hold of it and Hershey'd it.
I call it Hershifying something.
Yeah, he Hershified it. And we gave it a shot, and we did it up and down the West Coast for a week or so, and we came here to the Laguna Playhouse, which I adore. It's just fabulous, and I'm not just saying that because Andy's here. It really is. So is this whole town. I'm trying to chalk up some brownie points here. Anyway.
We've got an inflated sense of
Annie
how great
brought,
we are.
Right after we finished doing it, and this is a staged reading, Annie brought Hershey back and said, bring him on. Have him come when you get it together, and here we are. So that was really, that meant a great deal to me that you did that.
Well, and it was it was such a valuable piece and so fascinating to me, and I knew it would be to people who didn't know Jack, but because he was an everyman to so many people in film, people who didn't know him, and really such a generosity of spirit that he had that just leapt out of you either on the stage or
from
film.
He really could do that everyman thing. That's really true about him.
That's why in a time when we didn't have all this technology, that's the only way you could garner that was if that really came through the work on the screen or on the stage. And if you didn't have it, you didn't have it.
Especially through the sort of difficult times of maybe like after the Depression, World War II, you know, people wanted to, they didn't want to be patronized, did they? Yeah. You know, they just won a war. I'm imagining that sort of, that was in
the
zeitgeist.
Well, something like that, you talk about it in the play, The Days of Wine and Roses, which is one of the great movies of all time. But a lot of actors who had been, you know,
where he portrays an alcoholic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And gets his wife.
He liked to drink, didn't he, Jack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had a serious drinking problem.
Did
he? And was very vocal and very brave about it, too, and was one of the first actors ever to go public. Yeah.
Did he get sober in the end? Or?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He did, yeah.
He was sober for well over a decade.
Was it good for him?
Yeah, closer to two.
Yeah.
But it was something that he actually, in a time when it could have been quite a dangerous move, was very brave about actually publicly announcing in the hopes that maybe he could help somebody else out the way he wants.
We say it was a simpler time, but on the other hand, you couldn't come out and say, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a homosexual, I'm a communist, whatever.
He was one of the first who did.
Was he a communist homosexual alcoholic, or was he just
except for the communist homosexual part,
but he was definitely like to drink.
Yeah.
I'm only gay when I like a drink, when I have a drink. FYI.
That's interesting. And you'd invited me out for one later on, didn't you? You are kind of cute.
You're a very good looking man yourself, Now,
such a love fest going on.
From the reading where you do it in your own voice. How did you make the change?
I make the change? My boss told me I had to.
Did you?
Yeah, but it really morphed.
It was Hershey's idea.
Yeah, it really morphed.
The thing was with this, it was always, he said modestly, it was always a wonderful story and had good meaning, good reason for existence. But it was not theater. It was me telling a story.
Telling a story and playing a few
piano,
songs.
Yeah. And in order to exist in this arena and do what we all knew it was capable of doing, again, he said modestly, it had to be theater, which meant I had to give a performance. I had to be a character and play a character. And I actually had a couple of people come up to me last night and say, you know, why aren't you telling us the stories? I said, as much as I love the old show, it can't be that. It has to be theater. In order to be theater, it has to be a performance, which means I have to play a character from start to finish. And of course, that character has to be my father.
Yeah, and I've got to tell you, the audience, like last night, very quiet audience. Very quiet because they were listening with every ounce of their being. They were listening. They were so into it. They were on their feet at the end. I mean, it's real
really been
storytelling.
It was a big experiment, too, because we were having wonderful success in Chicago. Actually, we got extended, and that's where we premiered.
That's where you started out.
Yeah, we started up, and we're going back. We got extended, so we go back after the run here at Laguna. Audiences are just adoring it there. But now we're coming out to a whole different audience base. And both Hershey and I obviously had some trepidation. You know, we're really hoping for some success. And gosh, the reaction here has been good.
Fabulous. It's been really good.
Well, listen.
And such a wide range of audiences, too.
Exactly.
Quiet last night, but boisterous as heck on Sunday.
That's right.
And they jump up to their feet and
brilliant.
Bravos.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Am I talking too much again? I'm a lemon. I can't help it. We do a half hour on Hello.
I have to. Well, they say that about certain people. What is it? They say Jews. It's Jews. They say goodbye and never leave.
That's true.
And Norwegians never say goodbye but leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. I forget what it is now. Anyway, I'm so glad you came in and delighted for you about the show.
And it's only playing through Sunday.
Through Sunday.
Do not miss it.
I'm going to give away tickets in a few minutes when you guys have gone. I'm going to do a little thing and we'll probably stick some online as well and try to get people to the show, and I will come to it too, and I'm just very delighted to meet you,
Well,
Chris.
Anybody you give tickets to, I will meet and greet with after the show in person.
Oh, you're
that's
man.
Great.
Thank you. Brilliant.
And I got to tell you, though, one quick thing. Not only does he perform incredibly as an actor, Chris is an extraordinary pianist.
Pianist, yeah. Well, I saw that in the reading.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you really get it all. You know, there's something for everybody in the show, so.
Fantastic.
Don't miss it.
Right. I gotta
great
go.
Be in here. Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to see you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Chris Lemon, everybody, and Annie Wareham from The Playhouse. The show is called, please remind me.
Jack Lemon Returns.
I was going to say The Return of Jack. Jack Lemon Returns. It's at Laguna Playhouse through Sunday, and I'm going to give away tickets in just a bit. It's KX 93.5. We're Laguna's only FM.